You're listening to Podketeers.
Welcome to episode 463 of Podketeers. This week we crown a winner for March Mayhem in April. It's Star Wars week and we learn about the guy in the pink shorts. The Super Mario Brothers movie hits a major milestone while huge amounts of people watch the film for free. Marvel toilets. We hear about a connection between Disneyland and Dodger Stadium. And of course, our Disney history segment, Great Moments with Mr. Andrew, continues with 1957 and 1958. We'd love for you to join the conversation on our social networks, including Instagram and Facebook, but we invite you to join us on Discord. Joining the community is super simple. Just head on over to podketeers.com/links and click on the Discord button to join the community. A very special thank you goes out to an awesome group of people known as the FGP Squad, our podcast's fairy godparents, because it's their support via Patreon that helped make these episodes of Podketeers possible. As part of the FGP Squad family, you get some additional perks like exclusive discount codes for Podketeers gear, additional content that we've uploaded to Patreon, and access to our happy hour calls, just to name a few. For more information on how you can become part of the FGP Squad family, we invite you to check out podketeers.com/FGP. And as always, a super special thank you goes out to the FGP Squad for their continued support. So that is going to wrap up the intro. It is time to jump into the episode. If this is your first time hanging out with us, welcome. We hope that you enjoy the episode and that you come back for more. But of course, if you've been hanging with us for a while now, welcome back, friends. Here is episode 463 of Podketeers.
I was watching wrestling, and that's how Rey Mysterio's music starts. He's in the Hall of Fame now, don't you know?
Chewbacca Baca.
I'm not going to be able to not think about that.
I was listening to a podcast today, and they were talking about the Donnie and Marie Star Wars special from 1975 or whatever. And there's a song, and they go Chewbacca Baca Baca instead of Boom Shaka Laka Laka. They say Boom Chewbacca Baca Baca.
Can we use that?
I don't know, Chewbacca Baca. Why not?
Chewbacca Baca.
Chewbacca Baca. We'll go on Smuggler's Run and go to Chewbacca Baca Baca mode. Like all the kids are doing.
Oh my gosh.
What's the new Star Wars game? Jedi Knights or something like that? I'm trying to do a quick search here.
Star Wars Havana Knights.
Oh.
Havana Knights. It is Jedi Survivor is the new game that just released. It's only like a week or two old. I don't know. But it recently came out. And back in the day, there was a basketball game where they did have one of the announcers, like whenever you scored or something, he'd be like, boom, shakalaka.
Yeah.
And so I imagine in this new Star Wars Jedi Survivor, whenever you had a lightsaber duel and you want to be like, Chewbacca Baca.
No, it has to be like you have been voted off the island. But like Survivor, and Jeff Probst is there. And
but then they can't celebratory Chewbacca Baca.
Please extinguish your flame. I don't know nothing about Survivor. I was trying to make a Survivor joke, but I've never watched Survivor in my life. I know Jeff Probst, and then there's an island, and you get voted off the island. I don't know. Chewbacca Baca Baca is better.
Boom. Chewbacca Baca.
So
can we
title
make that the episode
week's
title?
Chewbacca Baca.
We're on the same wavelength here. How do you? I might need some help spelling that, but yeah, maybe
well,
the name
it's
of
just
the episode
chew,
is going to be
Chewbacca
Baca.
It's chew, like just how you spell Chewbacca, just break it up in two, so chew and then baca, and then that second part just copy
chew
that.
Chew-baca-baca.
Yeah, Chewbacca
perfect.
Baca.
Yeah,
there's,
perfect.
Do you remember do you guys see the Muppets Treasure Island movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's the part where they get to the island and there's all the pigs and they're doing boom shaka laka
oh,
laka
boom
shaka,
laka,
shaka,
boom,
laka.
Shaka,
so now
laka,
I'm then thinking
laka, yeah.
Chewbacca baka baka Chewbacca baka Chewbacca.
Next season on The Mandalorian.
All right.
pins.
Oh, that'd be funny.
In space.
Hey, did you finish the season three of The Mandalorian? Because I finally did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have been ahead on that for weeks now, right? Like, you lapped me on that pretty much as it was going, right?
Yeah, I tried to keep up with it each week. I think we got a couple weeks behind, but we watched the last one the week it aired, so.
Yeah, I had to binge everything.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good, because it was a really good season to watch, so it must have been fun for you to, go through them all.
Oh, you don't even know. I mean, it's, you know, The Mandalorian is one of those shows that I've really, really enjoyed on Disney Plus. And I remember going through season two and just, it was brutal having to wait for the next episode because mm-hmm. I was really, mm-hmm. really enjoying it. And so when this season started, I thought to myself, you know, I'm just going to wait until there's like a good 4 or 5 episodes and then hopefully it doesn't get spoiled. And then I'll just kind of watch them, or I'll wait until there's only like 2 episodes left so that I don't have to wait too long to wrap it all up, right? It'll take me a weekend or two to watch everything. Well, life happened and, you know, you're unable to make the time to watch it. And finally, I had some time to binge everything. And man, it was just such a good season. It leaves the question open for me, who is the show really about? Like, is the Mandalorian that they're speaking of Din Djarin, or in the greater sense, is it Bo-Katan?
In the greater sense, is it Baby Grogu?
Or is it Little Grogu?
Because he's, as we, we'll get into spoilers here, folks, so if you haven't finished it yet, just beware, skip ahead a little bit, because we're gonna be talking a little bit. I don't want to ruin anybody's day.
Chewbacca baka, spoiler
Chewbacca
alert.
Baka. When you hear the next Chewbacca baka, we'll say Chewbacca baka at the end of the Mandalorian talk, so you can come back to it later. But yeah, because he becomes like the I'm taking him on as my Padawan or whatever. Not Padawan. That's a Jedi thing. Apprentice.
Yeah, he's an apprentice, yeah.
Yeah. So he can become a Mandalorian just like Din Djarin did, because it wasn't from Mandalore. So stuff.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah.
They fly now.
Right? Yeah. This was just such a good season. The way that I was a little concerned, to be honest, going into this season. Wondering, there was I read something, and this is why I try not to read or listen to what people say about these shows when they're on, but somebody had talked about how the show felt like it was going to be a little stale after the Book of Boba Fett when they hit mm-hmm. season 3 of this one. And I let myself believe that for some odd reason, even though I knew that I was enjoying The Mandalorian, and I knew personally that I didn't enjoy the Book of Boba Fett as much as The Mandalorian. But for some reason in my head, that kind of lingered. And it did affect me a little bit, like going into this season wondering like, oh man, I hope it's, you know, it's not, that it's still good, right? That I'm still going to enjoy it. And man, I'm so glad that I did. I don't know if I'm going to call it my favorite season, because season one was just so good that... You know, it's set up the story so well, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm looking forward to more. I can't wait. The way that they set up stuff with Grogu, the way that they set up stuff with Bo-Katan, you know, all the new shows that we're going to be getting, like the way that they started finally connecting the other shows with this season, it just, mm-hmm. it feels good. It feels like a snuggly blanket. And I'm not even a huge Star Wars fan, and it feels like a freaking snuggly blanket.
It did. It did. It was actually really, really fun. I don't think I read anything, but I think that comment's kind of silly, because to say that, like, that it would be, like, stale, I mean, Mando kind of saved Book of Boba Fett. So how would we even say that? That's kind of silly. Yeah, people are just blah.
Yeah, I mean, it was Mandalorian season 2.5.
Yes.
So it was just
pretty
a little
much.
It was a side quest.
It was the Book of Boba Fett written by Din Djarin.
Uh-huh. Right? In his view.
Yeah.
In the yes.
That's a great point.
One of the coolest things I was so happy to see, not just in the first episode, but to return back, was Babu Frick's, I guess, we don't even know how they're related, but whoever he is, they are, can we have more? Like, they were awesome.
They're adorable. They're adorable. Yes! Let's just say
and
it. They're adorable.
If honestly, Grogu, the way that he, like, went after it, that would be me if I would have seen them at, you know, in Batuu, because like I could dream.
You want to reach over and try to eat one?
Yes.
That was a funny scene.
They are the, I looked it up, I wanted to figure out, because I didn't want to just call them Babu Fricks, because that's just the
I
one
know,
they are
right.
Anzellans.
Ooh.
Anzellans are the alien race of,
nice.
Of the Babu Fricks. Will I remember that? No. Will I call them Babu Fricks still? Yes.
Yes.
So
just like Baby Yoda.
There's a bunch
babus.
Of Babu Fricks.
Little Babus.
The Babus. Is it like the Babu is the first, like the, like the, and then Frick is just the, like it'd
that's
be
like
human,
their name.
It'd be like yes. Human Hazen.
Human Hazen, yeah.
Babu
human Andrew,
yeah.
Human Mel, yeah.
Yes.
That's what they are. They're the Babus. That's funny.
How many of you out there feeling like human beings out there?
Yeah.
And how many of you feeling like animals? Sorry, I'm throwing a random Mitch Hedberg joke in here for no reason.
That was relevant, though. It was good.
Yeah.
Well, it's Star Wars week. If you mm-hmm. haven't yet watched The Mandalorian Season 3... good time to do it, I guess. There's plenty of Star Wars things to watch. Carrie Fisher is going to be getting, the week that this episode releases, she's going to be getting her star finally.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of clips of Harrison Ford getting really sentimental from when he got his star and talking about how, you know, he wishes that she was there. And it is sad to see them, you know, have those ceremonies and everything without her. But
yeah.
You know, like we said in the last episode, we're glad that she's finally being honored. Long, long, long overdue. Hey, you want to hear something interesting I learned about Star Wars this week?
What?
I'm not sure if you've ever seen this or if you've ever heard this story, but apparently at Star Wars conventions, there's people that walk around. Andrew may have heard this as a theater person.
Yes, I am a thespian.
Apparently, at Star Wars conventions, there is one cosplay that is like super, super popular, and that is Pink
Sala.
Shorts guy.
Oh,
have you heard of Pink Shorts guy?
Yeah, it's the Pink Shorts guy in I'm assuming it's A New Hope. There is a boom microphone boom operator. Person and he was just wearing nothing but pink shorts and was
no.
just in a picture. If you look it up, yes. If you just look up Pink Shorts Star Wars.
So I didn't know this story. So yeah, so during the filming of A New Hope, they're out, you know, in the desert, it's super hot. And so his name was Ken Nightingale. And so Ken was the boom operator for A New Hope, and he's like in those yellow Timberland boots or something like that, and like pink shorts, no shirt, but he's carrying the boom as they're filming like a scene out in
Luke's speeder,
the speeder, right? Yeah,
in Tatooine or whatever, or the where they go. These are droids you're not looking for. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, yeah,
that part.
I forget what it's called. It starts with a T. It's a ton something desert. Star Wars fans are gonna. Be yelling at their,
you know where they go. Speakers. These are not the droids you're looking
the
for.
The point
that's
is,
where that happens.
Right.
Yeah. And then
exactly.
There's a cantina band.
There you go.
That's Hey, here's one for you, Star Wars people. Figure and Dan and the modal nodes. There you go. There's a Star Wars thing.
Boom. Look it up.
Can we circle back to Carrie?
Yeah.
Because there was something that actually caught my attention, and I'm sad that I didn't know until this year. So. I saw a post that a friend of mine posted, and it said, hey, remember to wear glitter on May the 4th. And I'm like, glitter? Let me read into this. Well, the whole glitter thing was Carrie's way to make someone feel better. And this kind of revolves around mental health. So she was, that was her part in doing things and like cheering other people up. So this actually goes back to 2017. I was like looking through and just checking different websites and whatnot. But since then, people have been celebrating Carrie on the 4th. And you know how we were talking about, oh, wearing, you know, buns and different things and different ways to celebrate her. So one way is to wear glitter, but I don't know if that's your cup of tea, but it would be like a really cute thing to do. And as of recent, they had Star Wars Celebration here, and Billy, her daughter, was actually giving out little packets or little like baggies of glitter, but with stickers of Princess Leia on it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so that's another way to celebrate her today.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know if you've ever worked with glitter before, but for weeks, months, years,
a little bit
after, you're going to be finding that stuff everywhere. In cracks you didn't even know your body had, you're going to find that glitter. So I do my best not to do anything with glitter because I don't want to find it 10 years from now and be like, oh yeah, that's from that Star Wars thing.
Remember that time?
At my theaters, glitter is banned because it is. Oh. It will last forever. It will. Yeah. You. It's what it like. If there's anything like you do, like we'll do snow and confetti and stuff like that, stuff you'll find forever too. But it's big and it's easy to vacuum up. Glitter will just. It's never going away. There's a a disease that we call it akin to like, you know, like a cold sore. It's like that's what glitter is like. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
It just never ends.
So
yeah.
So I say that as great as it is to honor Carrie with glitter, if you also don't want to find that in cracks you didn't even know your body had, maybe do some confetti. Also colorful, much easier to vacuum if you have
sequins,
to.
Sequins, you got a sparkly sequins. Shirt.
Yeah. Actually, they do make like silver confetti, right? Or the metallic confetti. Yeah.
Yeah, Mylar
confetti.
We could
do that. Yeah. We could do that. Yeah, I didn't know that story. That's kind of cool. I might still eat sticky buns that day to celebrate. I'm sticking to that. I don't know if you all are going to do the ears. I know Larry said he was going to steal his wife's Leia ears with the buns and wear those on that day. So I thought that was pretty fun. I might just carry Grogu around also. I know it has nothing to do with Leia, but damn it, I love that little Grogu doll that we have. Super cool. Just
I would
prop
like
him
to
up
see
next to my
the
desk.
Baby.
Great way to honor her. So confetti, metallic confetti, or if you are just brave, do the glitter thing and celebrate Carrie on May 4th.
Dunk your head in some glitter. See what happens.
Just cover your eyes. Don't inhale.
Yeah, put some goggles and nose plug, and then just get your head wet and then dunk it in some glitter. And be like a disco ball.
That is funny. Oh, you know what? Speaking of Star Wars, I guess this is the best time to announce that we finally have a winner for March Mayhem. As of the recording of last episode, we were in the championship match. It was Han Solo versus Buzz Lightyear. And listen, I have to admit, I thought Buzz Lightyear was going to take it.
Yeah.
I either thought one of two things was going to happen. I either thought Buzz Lightyear was going to win it, or Roger Rabbit was going to come in with a chair and beat up Buzz and Han Solo and take the whole thing and, you know, for the W. Neither of those happen. Han Solo wins March Mayhem in April. I didn't know exactly how to feel. I voted for Buzz, but then FGP squad member Miguel sent a message over on Instagram, and he said, hey, how appropriate. It's Star Wars week coming up. So, you know what? Let's celebrate it. It is Star Wars week. Congratulations, Han Solo. Chewbacca Baca, we're home, was the winning quote.
There you go.
And stay tuned for March Mayhem in June. When we do our Indiana,
March Mayhem in April in June.
Raiders March Mayhem. Raiders That's March. What we're doing. There I forgot go. We changed the name. In June we will have Raiders March Mayhem if we don't forget about it. What did we decide? It's just different Indiana Jones costumes.
Indiana
or
Jones poses, yeah, or
poses
or
whatever,
like
images
that.
Or yeah. something. Whatever. That'll be a thing.
I have to go back and double check who got closest with their bracket, but I think the way that it ended
up,
it definitely wasn't any of us, but I want to say that it going by the number of correct like advances in their bracket, mm-hmm. either Heather and Brian were tied for the win, or I'm very prematurely saying I think Brian won again. So don't take my word for that one. We have to go back and tally everything up to be certain. But if it turns out that they were both close, we might just send both of them something because why not?
Yeah.
It'll just be fun. So we'll go back and we'll look at the brackets and, expect something fun in the mail. Speaking of fun, we talked about Super Mario Brothers and the movie and stuff like that. It officially crossed $1 billion at the box office.
Yeah, good for them. That's awesome. I want to see this movie now, and it's like, well, whenever I get a chance, but that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So imagine the amount of people that have watched the Super Mario Brothers movie around the world in order for it to cross this amazing milestone, something that another film hasn't done in some time, right? And not knowing where movies were going to be after theaters started to open up again, and you know, nobody knew what the first movie to hit this milestone was going to be. There's a part of me that's happy that it was Super Mario Brothers because I loved it. But apparently, there's also been, a whole bunch of people, and by a whole bunch, about 9 million people that have also seen the Super Mario Brothers movie on Twitter.
Excuse me?
So, yeah. So, okay. Apparently, Twitter used to be this thing that functioned fairly well for a long time. And then some stuff changed. I don't know exactly what happened, but some stuff changed, and all of a sudden it's not what it used to be. That it's kind of buggy, and like it feels like people aren't there to maintain stuff anymore, so I don't know exactly what's happening. But apparently there are people that are uploading the entire Super Mario Brothers movie to Twitter posts, and people are just able to watch the whole film on Twitter.
Oh. So it still made a billion.
And it still made $1 billion. So don't know if it's still up. I'm not going to say, hey, I condone this. You can do your own searches. If you don't feel comfortable going to a theater, there's alternatives. You know, you can find alternatives. One alternative that I found for films was drive-ins. And there's also stuff on demand. AMC has an on-demand service. You can also do it through AMC On Demand. That's another way to watch it. But yeah, apparently this piracy thing has hit Twitter. And yar indeed. Because it still made $1 billion, even though over 9 million people watched the whole thing on Twitter. How crazy is that?
I think my mind is blown because it's just one movie and it didn't need like 20 million years to have another movie. I mean, yes, I'm talking about Avatar, but it blows my mind. Like, this is awesome. I mean, go Universal on this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
There's a part of me that, so I'm super happy for this film, right? Because again, I grew up with Nintendo. A lot of us grew up with Nintendo. So seeing this film, I remember when the Bob Hoskins version of Super Mario Bros. The one with John Leguizamo and stuff came out, and you know, it was what we had at the time. You know, and it was a thing that happened in this world. But, you know, we did have the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and we had other ways of kind of getting that Nintendo fix when it came to other content on TV or movie-wise, whatever. But this was a love letter to Nintendo and Super Mario Brothers fans. It's such a great film. It's so fun. The story is good. You know, the voice acting was way better than I was expecting it to be. You don't, like, I think I mentioned it when we first talked about the movie, that you kind of forget that Chris Pratt is Mario. You know, it just kind of blends into the movie. Like, you stop thinking about that after a bit. And that's great. It worked really well. But I do worry, though, that with this sudden, I shouldn't call it sudden, because Mario's been popular forever, right? But with this like burst of a fandom just kind of coming to light all of a sudden, does that mean that we're going to get a whole bunch of other Nintendo animated films that maybe won't be as good? Or do you think that Universal and Illumination will have a little bit of self-control and be like, you know what, let's only make good films? And like, I mean, I don't know. Is this going to be the catalyst for them to be like, let's make a Nintendo universe and try to replicate the MCU?
I would be happy with that.
yeah. But what if they do it too fast? Here's like, what I'm trying to say is that I'm for it as long as they don't flub it like DC did with their universe. Because DC could have been so good, except that they tried to force everything so quickly that the movies were just kind of meh, right? And so that's what I don't want for this. Like, I would love a Nintendo universe of films, but I don't want them to be, you know, just crappy in general, because they just want to capitalize on the fact that this film made $1 billion, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I think there's a lot of potential, though, because it's not just video games. These games have really good storylines and stories that lasted like decades, as we know. I know we talked about this before. I mean, they could do a really serious one with Legend of Zelda. It could be a drama. I don't see that one as a bubbly film, but it would. I mean, there's so many ways to make so many films, but I don't see them rushing into it. I really don't. And I think it's because of what they've seen with, like you just mentioned, DC and Marvel right now, with how Marvel's like slowing down and, you know, realizing, oh, wait, this is becoming too repetitive. Let's not do this anymore. So I'm pretty sure they're like taking notes. So I mean, if it gives another opportunity for another film, sure, let it take a couple years or so. I think it'd be pretty cool. I just want to see a Legend of Zelda movie.
So it's funny that you mentioned that, because with the success of this film, just a few weeks ago, somebody had talked to Shigeru Miyamoto about the possibility of a Zelda film. And essentially, like, there's a couple of articles floating around about this. I think the last one I read was on comicbook.com. But he essentially said, like, yeah, we're open to it. Like, there's the possibility that we're going to end up getting a Zelda film now. So, one, great news, right? Because, again, I would love to see a Zelda film, because you're right. Especially the Zelda games have such great storylines attached to them that, listen, especially now with what's the new one? Tears of the Kingdom? The sequel to Breath of the Wild, we're like a hop, skip, and a jump away from that, you know. So the fact that we're getting a new Zelda game, the all the stuff that's been coming out on the Switch has been, like, it's already kind of cinematic on its own, you know, the way that they make the game. So I'm open for it. I just want it. I want it now. Tomorrow. But don't make it bad. Just make it good. But tomorrow. Just give me another film.
Yeah.
And if you want, upload it to Twitter so I can watch it on Twitter. I mean, whatever you want to do. I mean, just however you want to play this. So, yeah. Crazy news. I couldn't believe it. You know, if people are, you know, downloading it, I know that there's always been that type of stuff going on, you know. And, you know, but
since the
fact that it was
of the internet.
On Twitter. And over 9 million people saw it on Twitter.
That's funny.
My flabber was gasted when I read that. I just could not believe what was happening. But either way, super good film. If you haven't had an opportunity to watch it, check it out. Like I said, if you there's several ways to watch it. You know, obviously in the theater, drive-ins, AMC has a AMC app that you can also purchase movies through to watch. It's not on Redbox, but the AMC app still has it available. I think it's like $20 to watch it or something like that from your home. So, good film. That's, like I said before, definitely a Blu-ray film for me. That's once Best Buy has it available for pre-order, I'm getting that. Let's see. What else do we have going on? Speaking of franchises, I want to talk a little bit about some Marvel stuff. But before we do, I want to remind you that this episode of Podcateers is brought to you by a fantastic group of listeners known as the FGP Squad, our podcast fairy godparents, because it's their support via Patreon that helped make these episodes of Podcateers possible. Being a part of the FGP Squad family gets you some additional perks like access to our happy hour calls, access to additional content that we've uploaded to Patreon, access to a special section of Discord, random giveaways, and more. So if you have any questions about what the FGP Squad is, we invite you to go to podcateers.com/FGP for more information. There you will find a list of some of our top contributors, some information on the FGP Squad, and a link to our Patreon. And of course, if you have any other questions, feel free to reach out to us. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. You can also join the community over on Discord and ask us anything there. If you're not part of the community, it's super simple. Just head on over to podcateers.com/links and you will find an invite to join our Discord community on that page. And also a link to the FGP Squad page if you would like more information. So, of course, to all of the members of the FGP Squad, we just want to send a huge thank you for your continued support. Okay, so we're talking about franchises. Talking about Marvel, obviously the blueprint for a lot of companies. You know, they want to set up their own version of the MCU. But would you want that franchise, I don't know, in your bathroom?
I mean, is it tasteful?
I don't know what tasteful is sometimes. Let me explain to you what happened. So, one, I love when people send me links to just craziness, right? So, I got this week had some great links that I received through Instagram and other posts, but we're going to talk about another one of those in a moment. But so I got this link from my sister-in-law, and my aunt was one of the people that sent me this link, by the way. I was like, oh my gosh, like, one, she knows
it must
me,
be
right?
Good.
So it was funny. So let me show these to you. I'm going to switch screens. So if you're listening, obviously, you're not going to be able to see this, but I'm gonna post pictures of this on Discord. And so this very first picture is Iron Man, but he's a toilet. He's a toilet.
He's half of a toilet.
Yeah.
Half of a torso of a toilet.
Yeah. Thoughts?
No.
I mean, can you be
straight
like
out.
Be like, okay, Jarvis, bidet, please. And
see, I have questions. Does it light up when you turn on the light? Because that's creepy to like walk.
Yeah,
in.
The eyes are lit up, and the arc reactor is lit up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It gets
weirder,
though.
Does it react if you flush the toilet?
Oh, what does he say? Like, boy. Jarvis, flush the toilet.
Right.
The toilets are. But these get weirder, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Here's the next one. Spider-Man has his own toilet as well.
Spider-Man needs to go see the chiropractor or something. He has bad posture.
Well, yeah. See, that's like what I was going to say.
Hunched over.
I don't know how my back would like feel if I had to like kind of sit up.
Have a Spider-Man in the small of your back? Spider-Man's face?
Yeah. This one's... I
Everyone's
going to want to
see these pictures now.
This. Right, yeah. Again, I'm going to post these on Discord if you want to check these out. But this is super uncomfortable looking. But they get worse. Hold on.
But wait,
this
there's
one,
more?
Not as bad. Okay, look.
No.
I hate... You
America's
know,
toilet.
America.
Oh, you
America's
win.
Toilet
you
for
win.
America's hiney.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, a couple of Captain America shields don't look that horrible as a toilet.
No.
I think this is less offensive than anything we've seen so far. But there's more. Okay, hold on. Here we go. Here's the next one.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
Hulk it, looks like raging. On a toilet. It is like, no. Mm-hmm.
It looks like the Hulk just holding a toilet.
Like he's providing it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, here, I got
like,
you.
No.
I got you this toilet.
Yeah.
But also
it looks like
very
he's
veiny.
He very.
Yeah, it's a very heavy toilet, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah. Unless it's plastic.
Full of something.
I don't know, but also scary. I don't know if I want that sitting behind me.
In the dark.
In the dark. Oh, if his eyes glow, that's even worse. Okay, but wait, there's more. Here's the next one. Thor Odinson.
He looks like
so
he's squatting
this is,
behind the toilet.
This one's weird because this is like full body Thor. This is
it's just
like
literally
bust
looks like
Thor.
It looks like Thor is sitting on the toilet behind a toilet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
So this looks like a
toilet
scene from Ghost
pee.
Waiting to Happen.
Uh-huh.
This is yeah. just odd.
But what I want...
I don't know how to feel about this. There's more. Oh, yes, the Superman toilet. This one is odd because, I mean, you see his chest and the plate and everything, but as the toilet curves, there's these weird legs in the bottom
it's
of
like
the toilet.
It's like you're sitting on Superman's lap.
Like his lap.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's so odd.
It's weird, and it looks like he missed leg day. But the color scheme is cool.
He also missed head day.
He also missed head day.
That too.
That's funny. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? A couple more here. The Black Panther.
This one, no. No, yeah. Just... I just feel bad. Like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, the design is sleek. No.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last one.
I am Poop Man.
Yeah. Do you really want the Dark Knight sitting behind you as you are doing your business?
Swear to me. You will wipe. I don't know. Like,
eat more fiber.
Right.
Oh,
no.
Man.
There was some decisions.
Yeah.
I kind of want
yeah.
the Batman toilet now.
So I don't know if these are real toilets somewhere or if these were AI generated. There's a couple things in the images that make me feel like they're AI generated, but I mean
there
thing
are
about
some crazy
these,
ones.
Yeah, the thing about this is that I actually wouldn't put it past people to actually have these toilets in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So again, super weird. It was just a super fun post. It made me laugh when I saw it. So I want to thank everybody that sent me this post. I'll take the images and I'll put them up on Discord if you want to check them out. And tell us which one your favorite one is and whether or not you would want to sport something like this in your own home. And if so, which one?
I'm a toilet.
Let's see.
I'm Toilet Man.
I'm Toilet Man. let's see what else. Oh, also, speaking of Instagram messages that I
received. Oh, wait, hold on. I just came up. Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. Because the toilet. There we go. Anyway, okay. That was very important. I had to stop everything for. Sorry.
Grinding halt, just to mention that.
Batman. Robin laid an egg in the Batman toilet.
Boom. Now we know.
Sorry.
Speaking of messages that I received on Instagram, I got a message from FGP squad members Anitza and Adriana with a post from the Dodgers Nation account. Dodgers Nation, you know, it's the official Instagram account of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, you know, they generally post a whole bunch of stuff having to do with the games and really good plays and history of the organization. And one video that caught their eye that they sent was how Dodger Stadium is connected to Disneyland, which was something I was not aware of. So instead of explaining it, it's a really short clip. I'm just going to play the audio from this clip. So let's quickly listen to it, and then we'll talk a little bit about it.
I know for a lot of you, Dodger Stadium is the happiest place on earth. Well, did you know that it was inspired by Disneyland? Legend has it that when the stadium was being built in the late 50s and early 60s, Dodgers owner Walter O'Malley, who was pals with Walt Disney, paid a visit to Disneyland, and he was so blown away by the futuristic look of Tomorrowland that after the visit, he met up with the stadium's chief architect, Captain Emil Prager, and started plans on the dynamic design. Walter O'Malley even sent Dodger Stadium personnel to visit Disneyland during the development of the stadium and told them that, quote, Disney was the model. The original Dodger Stadium plans even had a monorail just like Disneyland. And because of O'Malley's friendship with Disney, the Dodgers are one of the few organizations in the world that are allowed to use the iconic Disney font free of charge, and you'll notice the recognizable font on the Dodger Stadium welcome signs.
Yeah, super cool. I didn't know that Dodger Stadium was going to have a monorail. How rad would that have been?
That would have been awesome. I didn't even know this. And everyone's going to be like, what? You didn't know this? Okay, so I'm going to explain something. If you know me, you know I bleed blue, which means I'm just a huge Dodger fan. But I will say this. I don't think I've ever noticed the font on the opening, like the welcome sign. And that's because I usually get really excited when I'm there, because I'm like, yes, I'm here. It's Dodger Stadium's up there with Disneyland. So yes, it is. It's one of my favorite places more than anything. So I don't think I've ever realized that font until you just showed me that. So I'm like, try not to kick myself so hard, and please don't judge me, guys. That is a trip.
Yeah, listen, font-wise, I've noticed the similarities before, because I love fonts. Mm-hmm. Like, I love looking through different fonts. I love buying and collecting fonts. And there was always something about it that made me feel like, man, that looks like the Disney font. But I didn't know the connection. And so now I kind of feel vindicated, because I feel like now I have evidence that there is a connection to the Disney font. So I'm happy about that, you know, because yeah. I feel like, okay, well, my instinct was kind of right on this one.
And the coolest thing, okay, so it was the... the year, this happened on Jill's birthday. It was the year that the train came back with the left turn, and the Mark Twain as well. And there was I don't know if you guys remember this. I saw it like fast. So there was like a board, and it had like these, I guess, celebrities or historical moments with the Mark Twain. And there is actually a picture of Walter O'Malley being the, he was up staring. I can't remember right now. I'm having brain fog with terms, but he got to be at the very top, and he had his LA hat.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, wait a minute, this is cool. This is unique, because Dodgers are in LA, but this is like, ooh, this connects everything. I get it now. So yeah, there's like that little bit of history, and to learn this is really, really cool.
Yay, sports. don't know. I have nothing to say about the Dodgers. I think the font looks only kind of like the Disney font, but if they say it's the Disney font, whatever. It's the W, like, it's not Walto Graph. Like, it's right. kind of, it's
but it's a similar,
it's
enough.
Similar. It's closer to the Walt signature than, than, you know, and it's not like the Disneyland font, so it's. It's a cool video, though, and just, like, the history of the, like, how they were going to build it and the design of the stadium and everything. I don't know what it looks like because I don't go to the Dodger Stadium. I don't follow baseball, so.
It's okay. I don't even know how or where they would put the monorail because parking is a disaster. And if you've been there, you know exactly what that means.
I almost feel like having a monorail could solve that, though.
That would. That
have a
totally
couple of
would.
Stations going around. I mean, if they ever renovate, they got to do this. But I had to go back.
They just recently did that.
Well, they next can time. Do it again. They can do it again. But yeah. I did have to go back, and I did look at some images of Dodger Stadium. And I have to say that there are photos, especially for the seats at the very top, you have to be looking, I think, at the back of the stadium in order to see kind of the canopies and the way that they're shaped. They have, like, they almost look like fins where all the four posts are. Like, you could tell it was inspired by Tomorrowland. It looks very, like, people mover covering almost.
Yeah.
Here, let me see if I can bring a picture of this. Okay, so I'm going to place this photo over on Discord, but if we kind of zoom in here, if you look at where the posts are back here in the stadium and this covering, that looks totally like where the People Mover was. Like, the styling is very,
very
similar. But more importantly, if you look at the topiary setup here, it looks very futuristic, and it looks very much like a section of Tomorrowland would look with all the landscaping. So I can see where the influence was, because I remember seeing, like, a full photo of Dodger Stadium with all the seating, and it didn't look like it too much until I started seeing it from outside and I started seeing these sections. So again, I'll post this photo on Discord, but this was a really cool piece of history that I wasn't aware of. So huge thanks to Anitza and Adriana for sending this link to me.
Definitely.
It,
go blue.
Man, rabbit hole, man. This was one of those rabbit hole moments where I was like, this is not what I need to be doing at 3:30 in the morning. But it was so fun.
Oh, geez.
All right. Well, I think it's time to start rounding out the episode. So as we continue celebrating 100 years of the Disney Company, I think it's time to celebrate some great moments with the great Mr. Andrew. Mr. Andrew.
Yay.
Are we
That's
ready
me.
With more great moments?
I did it. Yeah, okay. The years this year are 1957 and 1958. And forgive me, I didn't edit this as much as I normally do, so might get a little crazy. Who knows? We'll see what happens. So, four films in 1957. Disney releases a live-action feature film, If All the Guys in the World, to theaters. On June 19th, Disney releases live-action feature film Johnny Tremaine. Walt Disney's daughter Sharon has a small part in that film. They release the first and only animated live-action true-life fantasy film, Perry, to theaters. The film is based on a book by Felix Salten. And on Christmas Day, Disney releases Old Yeller to theaters. There are three new shorts released, 11 re-released, and Cinderella and Bambi were also re-released this year. And TV for 1957. Disney renews with ABC for two more years of the Disneyland TV show for $4.1 million and one more year of the Mickey Mouse Club, switching over to half-hour shows for $3.2 million. The Hollywood Foreign Press awards a Golden Globe Award to Disney for the Mickey Mouse Club TV show. Walt Disney proposes to ABC a TV series based on a man who changed into a dog. The Mickey Mouse Club TV show has changed from 1 hour to a half hour. On October 10th, ABC debuts the third Disney TV show, Zorro, on Thursdays from 8 to 8:30 p.m. There are 12 episodes of Zorro released in 1957. The Disneyland TV show has 27 episodes in 1957. The fourth season begins airing on September 11th. For Disneyland in 1957, April 23rd, the Midgetopia ride opens in Fantasyland. April 29th, Walt Disney officially opens Sleeping Beauty Castle walkthrough. June 12th, the Monsanto House of the Future attraction opens in Tomorrowland. June 15th, Don DeFore's Silver Banjo Barbecue opens in Frontierland. Also in June, Motorboat Cruise opens in Fantasyland. The Holidayland Picnic Area opens. The View Liner train of Tomorrowland begins operation. Other things in 1957 for the parks. The Disney engineering staff recommends the monorail designs for Disneyland. Disney begins the Community Service Awards program at Disneyland, giving cash awards to local service organizations. For the first year, $9,000 is distributed. Also, the Magic Shop opens on Main Street. The Tinkerbell Toy Shop opens in Fantasyland. The Flight Circle exhibit area at Disneyland is renamed Thimble Dome Flight Circle, sponsored by Cox Manufacturing. The Flower Market begins selling artificial flowers on Main Street. The Shooting Gallery opens in Frontierland. The Indian Village Rafts begin operation in Frontierland. A third locomotive arrives at the Disney Studio backlot to be rebuilt for Disneyland. It was purchased in New Orleans for $1,200. The Miniature Horse Corral exhibit closes. The Baby Center area on Main Street opens in September. Also in September, Lillian Disney donates the 70-million-year-old petrified tree stump to Disneyland, which is installed in Frontierland. If you go listen to Quizneyland episode something or other, we talk about that a little bit. October 8th, the Maxwell House Coffee House restaurant closes. I got to learn to read. It closes. The first Christmas in Minnieland's parade is held at Disneyland. And on December 31st, Disneyland welcomes its 10 millionth guest, Lee Wolfenfend. What? Lee Wolfend. I don't know. Lee Wolfend, probably. The first New Year's Eve party is held at Disneyland with 7,500 people attending. Other notable things in 1957... in February, the Screen Producers Guild presents Walt Disney with a Milestone Award. On March 27th, Ingsoll Waterbury presents Walt Disney with the 25 millionth Mickey Mouse watch. And on November 12th, Walt Disney Production stocks begins trading on the New York Stock Exchange. I can't talk today. Our birthdays for 1957. January 12th, John Lasseter. January 17th, Steve Harvey. February 6th, Kathy Najimy. February 16th, LeVar Burton. April 29th, Daniel Day-Lewis. July 21st, John Lovitz. August 24th, Stephen Fry. September 12th, Hans Zimmer. September 24th, Brad Bird. October 25th, Nancy Cartwright. October 29th, Dan Castellaneta. December 1st, Deep Roy. December 9th, Donny Osmond. December 10th, Michael Clark Duncan. And December 13th, Steve Buscemi. And that brings us to 1958. Four films in 1958. In February, Disney releases live-action film The Story of Vicky. In March, they release the film The Missouri Traveler. But I'm sorry, Buena Vista releases the live-action film The Missouri Traveler. This was a film not created by Disney, but that used the Buena Vista distributing service, I guess you'd call it. March 26th, the Academy Awards, the 30th Annual Academy Awards celebration is televised with Donald Duck co-hosting. The American Humane Society or Association awards a Patsy Award to Spike the Dog from the film Old Yeller. July 9th, Disney releases the feature film The Light in the Forest. And December 25th, Disney releases the 14th People and Places film Seven Cities of Antarctica to theaters. They also release the film Tonka. Those two are attached together. The film is based on the novel Comanche by David Appel. There are only three shorts released this year and one re-release. In 1958 for TV... September 3rd, ABC airs the last Disneyland TV show. That is because it is then changed the next week to Walt Disney Presents for Friday nights from 8 to 9 o'clock. The Disneyland TV show airs 14 episodes. Walt Disney Presents airs 13. Zorro has 39 episodes, and its season 2 debuts on October 9th. For Disneyland in 1958, February 9th, the third locomotive, Disneyland locomotive refurbishment is complete. And by March 27th, the third locomotive makes its first test run around the park. And March 28th, Fred Gurley, the third locomotive for Disneyland, begins public operation. On March 31st, the Grand Canyon Diorama opens at Disneyland, part of the Santa Fe Disneyland Railroad. It is 306 feet long. It is the world's largest seamless hand-woven canvas. The attraction cost $376,000 to build. In April, the Tomorrowland station is added to the Disneyland Railroad. June, the Hills Brother Coffee House and Coffee Garden opens in Town Square, Disneyland. June 14th, the sailing ship Columbia opens. It is a full-scale replica of the original Columbia, the first ship to circumnavigate the globe in 1787. That cost $300,000 to build. The dock in Frontierland along the southwest side of Rivers of America is named Fowler's Harbor. The Alice in Wonderland ride opens in Fantasyland, also in June. The Mad Hatter shop on Main Street opens June 19th. The fourth locomotive rides at Disney's backlot to be rebuilt is purchased in New Jersey for $2,000. Also, the Space Station X-1 exhibit is renamed Satellite View of America. The Our Futures in Color exhibit is renamed Color Gallery. 1958, August, the first poster-sized large souvenir Disney map is released to the public. Also in August, Disney sponsors Disney Night at the Hollywood Bowl. Highlight of the entertainment is a 1,000-foot glide over the audience by Helen Tiny Klein, dressed as Tinkerbell. They also covered that at Quizneyland a couple weeks ago. August 16th, the fire truck begins transportation down Main Street. September 1st, the American Dairy Exhibit is closed in Disneyland. September 15th, the view liner is permanently closed to make way for new attractions. It only lasted 15 months, but carried 1.4 million passengers. In October, Roger Broggi and Joe Fowler visit the Alweg Corporation in Cologne, Germany. They conclude that Alweg would be the most successful monorail to operate at Disneyland. December 15th, the Junior Autopia attraction closes for major remodeling. And December 21st, the Disneyland debuts the Candlelight Procession and Masked Choir Ceremony. Other notable things from 1958. Production of Mickey Mouse watches is discontinued due to a decline in interest. Walt Disney commissions economic research associates to find a suitable location for a second Disney attraction. The recommendation is Florida. Disney's Circarama film, America the Beautiful, is shown at the Brussels World Fair. Disney and NBC jointly commissioned Stanford Research Institute to do a feasibility study for a new park in New Jersey near Syracuse. The resulting study does not favor a park at that location due to weather and cost. The birthdays for 1958. January 26th, Ellen DeGeneres. March 14th, Eddie Soto. March 20th, Holly Hunter. March 21st, Gary Oldman. May 23rd, Drew Carey. July 8th, Kevin Bacon. August 16th, Angela Bassett. August 25th, Tim Burton. August 29th, Michael Jackson. And November 22nd, Jamie Lee Curtis. So that was a very bumbly, great moments with me, Mr. Andrew. So there you go. Lots of stuff happening. Parks are still greatly expanding and changing in its first 4 years. It's quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man, that by this time, Disneyland had only really been open for about 3 years. And by the summer of 58, over 13 million people had already visited the park.
Mm-hmm.
How popular it became and how quickly, you know, thinking about, like, you were talking about the first New Year's Eve party that they ended up doing from 57 to 58.
Yeah.
You know, you think about Yeah, you think about the New Year's Eve parties now and the hundreds of thousands, or no, it's not hundreds of thousands, the tens of thousands of people that visit the park for an event like that. Mm-hmm. But the first one brought in like 7,500 people, mm-hmm. you know? So to go from an event that was like, and even then, to bring in 7,500 people to celebrate New Year's at Disneyland, something that's never been done before, that's a huge number of people celebrating that thing for the first time.
Yeah.
It's
also just like already 1958, they're thinking about, well, we should build another one of these. Maybe we should do it in Florida. I don't know. Like that early already. I mean, it's what, 12 years down the line. Only got a couple weeks till we'll start talking about Walt Disney World.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess when you look at the timeline, things did move a lot faster once Disneyland was built. Man, I enjoy these segments so much. I love them. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you so much, Andrew, for bringing us another more great moments with Mr. Andrew to learn a little bit more about Disney history and the 100 years that the company has been around. Anything else before we wrap up this week?
I don't think so. I was going to say new Quizzyland this week, but it already came out, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This week we did a little switcheroo. You're hearing Podketeers the day after Quizzyland release. Mm-hmm. So normally for any new listeners, Podketeers releases on Wednesdays. Quizzyland releases every other Thursday. But this week, I've been playing a lot of Disney Speedstorm, and so that pirate Jack just hit us with one of his hack skills and reversed things on us. And so Podketeers is releasing on Thursday this week. Why? Just because? Just we thought it would
keep
be
you
fun.
On your toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it fresh.
If you're listening to this on launch day, then yeah, it's hitting you like, whoa, what's happening? But if you tend to listen later in the week, it's probably not making a difference. So either way,
didn't even
we appreciate
realize
you
until
listening.
We said something.
Yeah. Either way, we appreciate you listening. Thank you all very much. And that's going to wrap it up. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep moving forward, and always remember to pass on the magic. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.
Part of the Podketeers Network.